Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Russ M. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Norristown, PA. Today is Friday, July 31st, 2026. And today we're reading from the Big Book. We're back on We Agnostics, page 55, the second paragraph, starting with, actually, we were fooling ourselves, ending with, our facts as old as man himself. Our readers today, for the 12 steps, Tenzin P, the 12 traditions, Anne Marie M, starting us off with the text and sharing is Devorah S, page 164 is Elizabeth B, our backup reader, Shane S, newcomer greeter is Susan SH, and Leah S is the second hour host. Our share IDs from yesterday, Thursday, July 30th, 2026. The 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,679. That's 23,679. The 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,681. 23,681. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and carry the message of recovery to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I've asked Tenzin P to read the 12 steps for us.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P checking in from New York. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us, and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone a blessed day.
Thanks, Tenzin. Next up is Anne Marie with the 12 traditions. Anne Marie M.
Good morning, Russ and everyone. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except when in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never finance or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thanks, Anne Marie. Thanks again, Tenzin. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on directions for recovery described in Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. You read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. And in order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today, we resume our study. And we agnostics, page 55, that second paragraph starting with, actually, we were fooling ourselves, ending at the bottom of that paragraph, as facts as old as man himself. Dvorah S. is going to start us off and share.
Hi, good morning. Thank you, Russ. My name is Deborah S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Actually, we were fooling ourselves, for deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. It may be obscured by calamity, by pomp, by worship of other things, but in some form or other, it is there. For faith in a power greater than ourselves and miraculous demonstrations of that power in human lives are facts as old as man himself. Whoa. Okay. So this is a very important paragraph because it's telling me that, you know, I put my faith in so many things, right? I open the light, I turn a switch, it gets on. I get on an airplane, I travel, I go from here to there, I get there. Go in my car. We know all the examples. And I don't doubt it. It's going to work, right? But for some reason, when it comes to putting my faith and trust in God, it's like, what? How can I do that? I can't see this power. How that's going to work? What's, and it's like, and then I'm, at the same time, I worship other things, right? It's the power of God. I put power into other things, right? Into, other things, right? And I'm blocking God out. But here it's telling me I need to look no further. We have God. God is deep down and in us. You know, God gives us, God has breathed, had breathe the first breath into me. Like that's, it's giving me life. So if I have it with me, can I just believe that God will give me everything that I need? It's there within me. And we see that. It says here, the faith and power can ourselves the miraculous demonstrations of that power in human lives. We see other people who are living with that faith. It's as old as man himself, and that's a fact, right? Can't argue with a fact, right? It's not an opinion, it's a fact, it says here. So, you know, we have it in with us, and all we have to do is turn towards that and have the willingness to know that it could work for us. You know, we're not any different. I'm not any different. And each day that I, you know, and each day that I actually turn my life to my will and I practice this trust and faith in God, things happen. Miraculous things do happen to me. I get through situations that I thought I would never do. Actually coming into program thinking, how can I follow this? How can I not eat these substances that I always was eating that help me get through situations? And then, you know, just putting it down, relieving them. And it brought me the obsession was cleared up. I'm not looking for that food. I get through things happily and willingly, and life is giving me everything. And you know, God is having this simple faith is bringing God to me, is bringing close for me to get closer to God. I'm so grateful because it's opening up doors that I've never had before. And it's a new life, and all because I'm trusting and relying on my higher power. And it was just little baby steps in that direction. And it, you know, and it keeps growing. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Devorah. Appreciate it. Now we're going to open up the line for sharing. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day, so others have a chance to participate and share on the meeting. All right. So before we get going, I need your first name, initial of your last name, where you're calling in from. And I promise you, I'll let you know where we're at throughout the meeting. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
LCM.
LCM. Nick.
Morrissey.
Hanayeta.
Marzi, Hanayeta.
Julia.
Julie. Who else?
Ann M., North Carolina.
Ann.
Gail M.
Gail. Gail M.
And Janice P.M.
Janice
P.M. Teresa A.
Teresa A.
What page, please?
I'm taking names right now. Who else? Who else?
Patio.
All right, that's going to be Pat. I think it was Patty. Patio. So, we got Nick F., Maura Z., Hanayeta R., Julie M., Ann M., Gail M., Janice P.M., Teresa A., and Patio. And we, in We Agnostics, page 55, second paragraph, reading, actually, we were fooling ourselves down to our facts as old as man himself. All right, I'll see you're up. LCN, press star one, please.
Hi, everybody. I'm LCM, a recovered compulsive overeater from Pennsylvania. I just love this paragraph. It gives me comfort. I love to know that deep down in little old me is my God. I mean, that just, like, that makes everything okay. It makes everything feel like I'll be okay, because deep down inside of me is my higher power. And when I have a calamity, and I've had a couple of medical ones recently, I know deep down God's going to be with me, that he's always going to be with me. And that gives me great strength. It gives me comfort. It gives me love. It just, you know, I do a lot of two-way prayer and when I do my 10 steps, and I find that God always reaches back out to me and tells me how much he loves me and how much he's there for me, and that no matter what I have to go through, he will be there, no matter what. And that's what I have to remember, and this paragraph reminds me of that. So it's great to be with you all, and thanks so much for letting me share. I pass.
Thanks, Elsie. Next up is Nick F., followed by Mara Z.
Good morning, family. It's Nick F. in Tennessee. Can I be heard?
Gotcha. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. Good morning, Rick. Thank you so much for your service. Hey, Devorah. Thank you for taking the lead. Yeah, this is a really classic, in my opinion, paragraph. You know, I didn't even realize that this would be the paragraph. I just was knowing it was a couple of days since I shared, so I get to share. Yeah, what's standing out to me is that, you know, it may be obscured by calamity, by worship of other things. But, you know, when I get to work this program, no matter what I go through, it's my idea of God no longer has to be obscured. And I'm holding the book in my hands, so shaking. I get so nervous. But, you know, I'm currently going through getting suspended on my job to no fault of my own. They just have to do an investigation. And my son is in another treatment center yet again. And a few days ago, you know, he hit another kid in the face. And this is things with my son going in and out of this treatment center. It's been an ongoing thing. And, you know, if they would have called me when they called me, you know, 3 months ago during this process of me working these steps and becoming entirely absent again, you know, I would get in despair. But I don't know what's happening. But for whatever reason now, life is happening. But the God idea is getting stronger. You know, I'm considering everything pure joy. Like, I'm going to God and asking God, how can I have joy in this circumstance? And I'm seeking God, and God is giving me answers, you know. Worship of other things. You know, I used to worship Ronald McDonald's. I used to worship Colonel Sanders. Like, thank God I'm getting to worship somebody else, something, not somebody, but something, this power greater than myself. I'm getting to learn. I'm getting to learn. God is so good. I'm getting to learn. And I love the honesty of this fellowship, because I told my sponsor, you know, some time back, you know, I don't feel God. I know God took this away from me, but I don't feel God. I know it, but I don't feel it. And I don't know why or what's happening, but for whatever reason, I'm beginning to feel my higher power on the inside of me, changing me and directing me. And, you know, to the newcomer, if it's happening for me, somebody that used to, the size of how much I weighed really don't even matter. But the fact of the matter is, I was being dragged through drive-thrus when I didn't want to go. I knew the pain that it would cause, and I couldn't stop killing myself with food. I was dying willingly, and now I'm learning how to willingly give my life over to the care of God. This is, it's blowing my mind. I do some assignments, I do some writing, and God is literally changing my ideas about my life. I'm not worried whether I get this, stay on this job or don't stay on this job. Like, God is so much bigger than my finances. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Nick. All right, next up is Mara Z, followed by Hannah Yetta R.
Good morning, Russ. Thanks so much for all your service. I'm Mara Z, and I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Virginia. This is my most favorite line in this book. Actually, we were fooling ourselves, for deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. Deep down in me, I can find God. For faith in a power greater than ourselves and miraculous demonstrations I've got a miraculous demonstration in my life. I was pulled out of relapse. I was given the willingness to put down the freaking food. I was taken out of the scrap heap. I was put in a place of serenity. This program, these 12 steps, are absolutely the blueprint for my life. I follow them. I work them. I work with others. I give service. I know that deep down inside me, there is a God. There is God. I don't have to do it on my own anymore. I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to know everything. I can still learn. I can still be teachable. God is with me every day, as long as I remember to go to Him and not try to do this life thing on my own. I'll be okay because He is with me. That's the message that this book has to offer. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you, Russ.
Thanks, Mar. Appreciate it. Next up is Hanietta R, followed by Julie M.
Good morning, Russ. Excuse me. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Hanietta R from Plano, Texas, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater and so grateful to be here and be in remission today. I want to take a second just to welcome all the newcomers, our people coming back, people struggling. I just want to tell you that this program is a miracle, and God is down there inside you, and He's got a miracle for you. Don't quit 5 minutes before your miracle, and I love you guys so much. I love all y'all, as we see down here in Texas. So anyway, I thank you, Deborah, and mentioned one thing especially that I always think of, and is that God blew my first breath into me when I was born. That was God, and He's still in there. And sometimes I can feel Him so strong that if I close my eyes and put my arms around myself, I really feel Him hugging me. And maybe that's because it comes from the inside out. I've never thought of that before, but I feel Him so close sometimes. And maybe it's because He is that close. He's right there deep down inside of me all the time, 24/7, no matter what. Whether I get up in the middle of the night or whether I get up too early to eat breakfast or whether I stay up too late and already ate dinner, doesn't matter. He's there. And I used to worship food and men and whatever, so many things. And unfortunately, I worshiped stealing and lying and cheating. And those are my way of life, and I don't have to do those today because I do believe that God has changed me into the person that He's always wanted me to be, and I keep wanting to improve, and I do all the time. You know, thank God, I'm still not perfect. When I'm perfect, I'll be 60 under, and I don't want to get there yet. I've got too many more years to go, and I just love this program. I love you guys. And today, I can honestly say I love myself. And that is a miracle. So thanks for letting me share, Russ. Thank you again for your service. And anybody who's celebrating, have a good Shabbos.
Thanks, Hanietta. Next up is Julie M, followed by Ann M. But you know what? Hold up. Let's let you know where we're at. We're just buzzing through the share, so let you know where we're at if you came on a little late. We're in We Agnostics, page 55, second paragraph, starting with, actually, we were fooling ourselves, ending with, our facts as old as man himself. All right, Julie M., you can jump up on there and share.
Good morning, Ross. This is Julie M., recovered in New York. This particular chapter of We Agnostics has been a learning experience for me. About 19 years ago, this wonderful woman, when I came into OA, she went through this whole chapter with me. And, you know, when we came to this part, the great reality deep down within us, I just, you know, I always had a God of my understanding. However, the 12 steps transformed that, you know, into knowing that my higher power is that close to me. I was searching everywhere. I was searching in the food. I was searching in other substances, looking for the solution. And the solution was really when I, you know, went through the steps with a sponsor and I was taught about the great reality deep down within us, which I didn't know it was that close. Through practicing my religious practices, I always had a faith that God did things for me, but I didn't really trust the process. However, as the transformative 12-step program occurred, you know, I found that God was that close to me, that I didn't have to search in the food, that I didn't have to search in people, places, or things, that I could trust in a higher power that really, truly loved me and loves me unconditionally, and that I don't have to keep looking everywhere else. It's that close. And I know that there was this person that would come on the line all the time, and she would say, you know, that I didn't have to apologize for God, and I don't have to apologize. And I'm just so grateful that today I understand that, and that today God has done for me what I can't do for myself. Thank you, Russ, for your continued service and for all the people on the line. Thank you for allowing me to share, and have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Julie. Appreciate it. Next up, I believe, is Ann M., followed by Gail M. Ann M., star one.
Sorry,
please,
about the delay. This is Ann M. from North Carolina. And I'm really grateful to be on the line. I am a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. And one of the ways that I know that I'm living in recovery is not just that I abstain from certain kinds of foods, or that I have lost the weight that I needed to lose. How I know I'm living in recovery is because I have truly accepted the premise of this paragraph, that deep down inside is the fundamental idea of God. And not just in me, who, and through that I'm able to live in recovery, but deep down inside, everybody is the fundamental idea of God. Therefore, I can truly embrace another well-known sentence in the Big Book, that love and tolerance is my code. Because if God is in everyone, then I must treat everyone with love and kindness, and not just tolerate certain behaviors, but do my best to accept them and understand them. Every person that I meet has God's work, but also a flawed human being like I have been. Am still. And I don't know, I'm probably preaching to the choir, as they say. But that has been such an important piece of my development throughout my years in OA. I came in metaphorically kicking and screaming that, you know, there was no such thing as God, and wasn't going to do anything for me anyway. I just needed the magic answer, and I was going to graduate in a year. Hey, 12 steps, 12 months, I was out of here. But as, you know, one of our other sayings, we come for the vanity, we stay for the sanity. And that sanity, that ability to face the problems that come into my life with a certain equanimity, a certain faith that the God of my understanding is going to see me through.
That's fine.
Either, thank you, either protect me or hold me. That's what this program has given me the most. With that, I pass. Thank you very much for everybody.
All right, there. And next up is Gail M., followed by Janice P.M.
Hi, Gail M., Jersey here. Grateful recovering compulsive overeater. Thank you, everyone, for your service and to all on the line for being here. What jumped out at me was we were fooling ourselves and obscured by calamity. Yes, my fundamental idea of God has changed from when I was younger to when I started OA in 94 and again today in Vision for You. Also, I was fooling myself because I was the cause of the calamity. My disease of compulsive overeating was just a symptom. However, the spiritual awakening has also changed over the years. I'm finally home on my strongest spiritual foundation with God. Day 24, working step four with my sponsor. Thank you, everyone, very much for being here.
Thank you, Gail. Appreciate it. Next up is Janice P.M., followed by Teresa A.
Well, thank you, Russ. Good morning to you and everyone. My name is Janice P.M., and I'm a real grateful compulsive overeater living in Massachusetts. Okay, this paragraph tells me two important things. It tells me how to find a higher power, who I call God, and where to find that higher power, because this is step two. And, you know, I call it the step two choice. Now, if I choose to continue to keep finding a food plan, a sponsor, a person, or more money, you know, all these things that really I thought would help me stop eating compulsively and keep me from starting again, but those things didn't work. So therefore, you know, I was deceiving myself. I was a fool. That's really what I was. I was a fool to think that I kept an insane to keep trying and trying the same thing over and over again. That's what insanity is. We know that. But people used to say, yeah, when I eat, you know, I act like this and I do crazy things. No, the crazy things that I did was to try to search for my power, my result, getting my result on how to stop. Well, this is what it says. Actually, we were fooling ourselves. I was deceiving myself because deep down in every man, it doesn't say some, doesn't say 10, it says every man and woman is the idea of God. Now, because this is from, you know, the Oxford group, they call it's God. And that's who I call my higher power. Higher than me is my God. And, you know, sure I was. It was hidden, all these calamities in my life. Oh, poor me, I got cancer. Oh, I, you know, my son is this. All these calamities by thinking that pomp that I could fix you, I could fix my food problem, my behaviors. And I worshipped. I was, sure, I had faith in a lot of things. You know, I have faith in the wind. The wind would, you know, move the boats, and but I could feel it, but I couldn't see it. And that's how there's a process of hope here, and there's a process to get the results and get to faith, because it is a process. First, I had to, you know, had to have some faith and believe, we willing to believe that I am powerless. I can't do it. I can't fix this problem. I can't manage my life. So that's the first step, to know that. And then, of course, okay, and I'm just going to finish up with my action and my the steps. And guess what? The results were I found my higher power. And with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Janice. Appreciate it. Next up is Teresa A., followed by Patty O.
Good morning, Russ. This is Teresa A. in Silver Spring, Maryland. And as I was reading the passage this morning, you know, what stuck out to me is that, you know, obscured by calamity. And sometimes I think I know what the meaning of a word is. I was like, oh, obscured means to block. But then I decided to look it up and see what the actual definition is, or one definition from the dictionary I have. And interesting what I found. It says emitting or having a limited or insufficient amount of light, right? To make dark, to conceal or hide as if by covering. So to obscure is like is covering the light, right? And each of us has a fundamental idea of God, you know, and I know that as I've grown older, my fundamental idea has changed or shifted. And we talk about putting away childish things, but I couldn't help but thinking about this childhood song, you know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? And so I think the fundamental idea of God, you know, regardless of how I interpret it, is that light that was in me or has been in me all this time, but gets obscured sometimes. It gets covered by calamity, right? By pomp, by worship of other things, like my addiction, and it clouds my faith. And in order to get back to faith, you know, for faith in a power greater than ourselves, right, and a miraculous demonstration of that power in human lives, I need to look within. I need to look within that light. And I also like how it says here, miraculous demonstrations, because some people can't say, I can't have faith until I see it. Not until I see it or put my hands on it, then that will activate my faith. So, you know, miraculous demonstrations, we have to look for it, and we see it in each other. We see it in people who have recovered. The opposite of faith is fear, and I happen to be doing a deep dive fear inventory. So I have been doing a lot of work on page 68 of this page, where it says that, you know, the solution to this lack of faith is trusting and relying upon God. And it talks about faith being courage. And it also says on page 68 that we let God demonstrate through us what he can do. So we can be demonstrations of God's goodness that then lights the faith in someone else, right? I am enjoying this journey of moving farther and farther away from faith, farther away from fear and closer to faith, and recognizing that it is that light that has always been inside of me. So thank you, and I pass.
Thanks, Teresa. Next up is Patio, and now we'll take another list. All right, star one, Patio.
Hi, it's Patio. I live in Florida, and I'm a compulsive overeater. So I returned to OA, to the Vision program about a week ago, once again, after so many futile attempts to find this peace and serenity that you guys talk about. I've had tastes of it in my journey, but there's always, it's self. Always self comes into the picture and less of my higher power. I guess what I want to share is that for the first time today, and I've been practicing 12 steps for 38 years, for the first time today, I drew the parallel between electricity that I can't see and the deep down God that lives inside of me. I don't believe in the dogma that the Catholic Church teaches me, but I guess I believe in God. I called it a higher power, and I always felt the need to defend or explain why I didn't believe in God. It wasn't God that I didn't believe in. It was the dogma that the Catholic school taught me. That was a frightening, fearful, punishing God, and I wanted no part of it. And my higher power, or if you want to call him God, my higher power is the only answer for me. Listen, I've tried everything to help me regain sanity. I have nowhere else to go except for vision. I know my answer lies in vision and a belief and a faith. And so I'm really glad that I heard that today. I heard it from so many people, and I'm really glad I heard it and took it into myself that I don't have to be alone. And so thanks for letting me share.
All right, thank you, Patio. Next up, we're going to get another list. Let me let you know where we're at. We're in We Agnostics, page 55, second paragraph, starting with, actually, we were fooling ourselves, ending with our facts as old as man himself. So if you shared in the past couple of days, please step back. Allow other people to share. So,
Anita okay. J.
Carol A. Hold on. Janet B. Anita.
Sally A.
Anne Marie.
I got Anne Marie.
Cheryl A.
Cheryl and Sally.
Sally A. Yeah.
Yep, I got.
Thank you.
Let's go with that for now. We're just going to go with these five, and if we got time, we'll throw more in there. So we got Janet B., Nita J., Emery M., Cheryl A., and Sally A. You're up, Janet.
Morning, Ross. Morning, everyone. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. This is my all-time favorite line in the Big Book. Deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. What a comfort for people who think that God doesn't love us. God loves us so much that along with like two lungs, two kidneys, one heart, one stomach, he put the fundamental idea of himself in us. Like he loves us so much, wants a relationship with us so much, he put the idea of himself in us. So how come I can't feel it? How come we can't feel it sometimes? Well, it tells me the three things that can block it. Just like cataracts can block us from seeing things in the physical world, there are things that can block me from realizing God. And that's like calamity, bad things that have happened to me and other people. That's like me playing God and, you know, saying, oh, there is no God because he's not giving me everything I feel entitled to, and worship of other things. Like, what am I making idols of? You know, my kids, my health, my marriage, you know, anything like that blocks it. But it tells me, okay, even though it's blocked, it's still there, that God loves me so much that even when I mess up by idolatry and pomp, it's still there. And then this paragraph goes on and tells us not only is God within us and that we can have faith in him, like believe he exists, but that he does miraculous demonstrations. What good is it to just have a belief in God if this God doesn't give us power? But this God has given to us and has given to me personally, I can attest, miraculous demonstration of his power in my life. I was a gutter bulimic, throwing up six times a day at my worst. I stole food. I stole money for food. I surrendered my life to God, even though I didn't really understand him, but I knew he couldn't do a worse job in my life than I was doing myself. And a miraculous demonstration happened. It is there, this idea of God. It just overwhelms me that our God loves us this much, that he planted the idea of himself within us all. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Janet. Next up is Anita J., Baba Amory M.
Thank you.
Thanks, Russ. Thank you for your service on Fridays. I'm Anita J., trying to get that recovered, being recovered again. I have, when I went to bed last night, I have 5 days in a row. Five. And it, what it did, it somehow opened up the vista and I saw it again. I saw God. I not only saw that he was always with me, it reminded me that I had had my DNA done. And the part of me I identify with most in my whole life goes back to the most ancient peoples. And I've always been proud of that. And that they were one of the first people to, well, they say, whether it's true or not, they were the first to put their idols down and worship a god. And I think, am I going to be the link that breaks it? Am I going to be the broken link from way back in the times of Assyria? I mean, I can't believe that I want to do that. And I don't think God wants me to. He wants me to keep putting down, you know, whatever the idols are, whether it is something I stuff in my mouth or Mr. Right or whatever it is. No, no, no. Why settle for second best, for God's sake, when he gave me him? So I am just so grateful. And isn't it amazing how you don't have to have, once I had 10 years and I forgot the gratitude. I forgot what he did for me. And just a few days gives me the clarity again. And all you guys who keep affirming this higher power, whatever you call it, and I appreciate it. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Anita. Next up is Anne-Marie M., followed by Cheryl A.
Good morning, everyone. Anne-Marie M. here in South Carolina, and through God's grace and mercy, I'm recovered from compulsive overeating. Grateful to be here. On page 45, there's a short paragraph, strong paragraph. Lack of power was our dilemma. We had to find a power which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where and how are we to find this power? And then it gives us the answer on page 55, right here, that we just read.
Anne-Marie, we lost you. I think you got disconnected here. Star one, please. Star one, Anne-Marie. Can I be heard?
Yes, we can hear you.
All right. Yes, you can. Thank you.
Yes.
All right. So let's jump to Cheryl A, and then we'll give Anne-Marie another 2 minutes. We'll try again. Okay. All right, Cheryl A, you're up, and then Anne-Marie will get you right after Cheryl A.
Hi, this is Cheryl A, a recovered compulsive overeater in Brookline, Massachusetts. I loved a few shares ago when someone made reference to page 68. I was thinking about 68 also, because we know that Bill uses his words very, very carefully. And sometimes he uses lots of different words to try to get across the same idea. But sometimes there's a reference to the same word in two different places. And that's what struck me this morning, that word calamity, because it does show up on page 68. And here it's talking about that this concept and this idea, this fundamental idea, is obscured by one of these things that was just talked about, calamity. And I looked up calamity, and calamity can be a horrible tragedy, but can also be a very distressing state of mind. And that can be caused by a tragedy, but can also be caused by what comes up on page 68. And on page 68, it's telling us, how do we deal with fear? It's in the fourth step, and it's talking about our fear inventory. And then it says that there's a problem, and that fear is one of these things that gets at the causes and conditions of what we do. We have to get to the causes and conditions. So here it says, perhaps there is a better way. We think so, for we are now on a different basis, the basis of trusting and relying upon God. And those are active things we need to do to get to God. We trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. We're in the world to play the role he assigns. Just, and here is what struck me, just to the extent that we do as we think he would have us and humbly rely on him, does he enable us to match calamity with serenity. So we're now, Bill references, there's like an intertextuality where he references back to this word, which he first talks about as the thing that was blocking us from this idea that is our solution, which is a relationship. And then later on, as we're getting into understanding the causes and conditions, he then talks about we can meet calamity with serenity if we do not just faith. I have to remember for me that faith has got to be nurtured through verbs, relying, rely, and trust. Do these active things. And thank you. Those are actions I must take. So grateful to be with you all and study this book together. Thanks for listening.
All right, Anne-Marie. I mean, yes, Cheryl, but Anne-Marie's up. So Anne-Marie, we got like 2.5 minutes for you, and then we'll see if we can get Sally in there. All right.
Yeah, thank you so much. Boy, that was a cliffhanger there because I was trying to turn the page and I hung up. So that was my fault. But, and the person that just spoke, you know, talked about how, you know, Bill and the first 100, whoever wrote this book, tied in, just ties everything together. So on page 45, we're asking, you know, where am I going to find this power? And then here on page 55, we get the answer. We found the great reality, and it's capitalized, so meaning God, deep down within us. And it's in that last analysis that is only there that he may be found. And I'm just so grateful. I also like that they use the word fact. Whenever I hear that word fact, they're not just guessing at these things. These men have had experience and have seen many men fail and women and many succeed. And so they talk about the facts and the fact that it is only there that that he may be found. And that's such a blessing because that means he goes everywhere with me. God is within me. I believe I am the holy. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. I also call my God the Holy Spirit, and so He's with me everywhere I go. And all I need to do is reach down within me, and pray and ask for direction. And God is so good. He's given me so many human angels to be able to help me along the way when I really can't. You know. When I need to hear his message through someone else's mouth. So I'm forever grateful, and I appreciate you giving me back how many minutes I had left, Russ. So thanks so much. God bless.
All right. You got it, Anne-Marie. All right. Next up is Sally A., and we have like a minute and a half, Sally A. Does that work for you?
This will be a feat for
all
me.
Right, go for it. You get,
I just want
to
say
a minute, so.
Yeah, Sally A. in New York. I think that the most important thing I would say here is deep down inside of me and my soul, I believe that God created me
with a hole in my soul. And I believe he created a hole in everyone's soul. And people fill that hole with different things until we reach the end of ourself, the end of our reasoning, and then we finally turn to God. And that is where I find God. So many times in my life, I thought, I'm good, I've got God. But truth be told, I would pray and then walk away with God in my rearview mirror. And it was really about me reaching the end of me, the end of my reasoning skills, and to finally say, I can't do this, and find all the power that I need in my higher power. Thanks for letting me share. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Thanks, Sally. Appreciate it. And thank you to everyone who shared on this meeting today. And everybody has done service every time we have a meeting, and especially for July. We wouldn't be able to get this thing rolling without everyone's help. All right. So the share ID for today, Friday, July 31st, 2026, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,682. 23682. Now we're going to close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Elizabeth B. is going to read A Vision for You. A book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then. And then we'll pray the Serenity Prayer together.
Good morning. This is Elizabeth B. in North Carolina. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come. If your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got, see to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We will be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.